None of us is exempt from feelings of loneliness at one time or another in our life. Speaker, columnist, and author Ron Rollheiser addresses this topic and gives us much food for thought in his column on cultivating or not cultivating loneliness, which was written April 10th, 2008. He writes, "Kierkegaard has always been a lonely person." Kierkegaard, by the way, is a great philosopher of past times who's given us much thought. But as a young man, he made a deliberate, strong decision to remain wedded to that loneliness. He fell in love with a woman, and they planned to marry. But eventually, in a decision that would cause him pain and anguish for a long time, Kierkegaard called off the wedding, though he deeply loved the woman. What was his reason? He was afraid that if he let another person into his life in this way, it would interfere with his loneliness in a way that would impact on the depth of his understanding and with what he had to share with the world. He chose celibacy for what he felt was a noble reason, a deeper solidarity with the loneliness of the world. He cultivated loneliness as a means of deeper entry into the soul. And that bore fruit. Countless people, men and women, celibates and married people alike, have drawn understanding and strength from his writings. One of these was Henry Nouwen, who used to say that Kierkegaard made his loneliness his gift to the world. What Nouwen experienced in reading Kierkegaard, and what many others experience too, is the sense of being introduced to yourself, the sense of being understood and validated inside your frightening complexity and loneliness. But is a decision to cultivate one's loneliness always a noble thing? Commenting on why he never married, Kierkegaard once wrote that he lived the curse of, quote, never to be allowed to let anyone deeply and inwardly join themselves to me. The sadness this produces, he continues, is the sadness of having understood something true and then seeing oneself misunderstood. Unanimity minus one, moral loneliness, touching truth in a way that separates before it unites. Many of us, no doubt, can resonate with these words. Somehow we never find our true soul mate in this world, someone to truly join ourselves to deeply and inwardly. But why? Is the fault within or without? Is it that we are never allowed to let anyone into that deep space, or is it more that we never allow anyone in there? Is it just bad luck, or is it the fault inside of us? We all yearn for someone to join ourselves to, inwardly and deeply. But yearning is one thing, allowing it to happen and paying the price for it is something else. Real intimacy is the most scary and demanding thing on the planet. We resist it as much as we invite it, but why? Because as much as we want to share our deepest secrets, we also want to keep them hidden. As much as we want constant companionship, we also want privacy. As much as we want to be vulnerable, we also want to protect ourselves. As much as we want to share our lives, we also want our freedom. As much as we want to give ourselves away in selflessness, we also want to keep our lives and our possessions for ourselves. And as much as we want the stability of deep commitment, we also want the freedom of opportunity. Intimacy demands a certain nakedness, but nakedness, by definition, is not self-assured, strong, prideful, able to walk in and out of a room on its own terms, cool, fully self-possessed. Thus, we are always ambivalent in our quest for intimacy. We move towards it even as, like Kierkegaard, we push it away. Sometimes this is healthy. We are meant to carry our loneliness and solitude at a high level, to not sell our souls out too quickly or too cheaply, to not settle for second best. In the words of the famous philosopher, don't surrender your loneliness so quickly. Let it cut deep. Let it ferment and season as few human or divine ingredients can. Sometimes loneliness must be cultivated. But this can also be unhealthy. Sometimes the prison of our own loneliness is self-imposed and comes about mainly because of our unwillingness to give up freedom, private possession, self-protection, and that which is perceived as being cool. It is not so much that we aren't allowed intimacy because of circumstances, luck, or handicap, but that we do not allow it because it is a real cost to us. Whenever that is the case, our loneliness, unlike that of Kierkegaard, will not be fruitful, a fertile sadness that is our gift to the world, but will be rather a sterile sadness that drains energy out of the world. Let's hope that whatever loneliness we do cultivate is the healthy kind, the kind that softens the heart rather than hardens it, that speaks as does the loneliness of the famous philosopher who said, "Something missing in my heart tonight has made my eyes so soft, my voice so tender, my need of God absolutely clear." There, I think we have a beautiful meditation on the pros and cons of loneliness that all of us in our lives are not exempt from. I hope this gives us some food for thought on a subject that is part of our lives. Amen.